Dick.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Thank you. Just having some quick lunch here, a sandwich.
Good. Good. We want to keep your energy up.
It's one of those Mondays.
What are you dealing with? All the people trying to get their acts back together from the hurricane and all this stuff. So how is it going?
It's going okay. It's just very busy. It feels like we just spoke 2 days ago. Well, actually, we did on Wednesday, so it's been a bit crazy. But okay.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I've been working on is this idea of internal specialization. You know, we always talked about coordinators and things like that, but in today's world, it is incredibly valuable and not being done, this concept of specialization. People are doing it, but nobody knows about it. And they're marketing themselves to the outside market, but they're not marketing themselves to the internal market. And they have no idea how to do it. And that's where you and your peers can help. The firm does it on some things. They typically have figured out that it's important to do it in consulting services, for example, where they have got a national coordinated effort to sell consulting services to pension plans. My friend Craig Dobbs was involved with that. They even gave it a brand and a title and all that stuff. But, you know, they may do it with 401ks and retirement plans. But they don't do it in some other specialty areas that I think could be helpful to you and to your peers in terms of creating marketing efforts, and so that everybody doesn't have to do these things, and so you don't have to rely on a person in New York to answer all the questions. You've got a local person. So in my book, I think I refer to it as the kind of the Fort Fargo concept, and I stop me if I've told you that story, but I was in Fargo, and they asked me, when was the specialist coming to visit from Minneapolis? And I said, never. And they said, what? I said, never. They said, what are you talking about? I said, well, you're Fargo, okay? In the winter, they're never coming, okay? In the summer, they'll come. They'll come once. They'll check the box, and then they'll go back to Minneapolis. But you can't count on people supporting you in Fargo, so you have to create what I'm going to call Fort Fargo, which is create your own specialist in the market in every discipline. And then when they come, they work with the person that is the specialist in that particular area, so the coordinator on mortgages or the coordinator on or the specialist in whatever, insurance and stuff, comes and visits with the specialist in the office rather than everybody. And then you've got the local guy that you can use when you have those situations because you've got the experts. So you train him, you train the assistant, and they are the world-class experts just as you would have them come in from your region of New York or whatever. And so we did that, and we did that in each market. And therefore, we became much more independent from the firm. And the specialists were then used to really help in difficult situations, but in general, we had the answer people right in our local branch. Well, today it's even gotten more specialized. I just got off the phone with a guy that specializes in clients that have got children or grandchildren that have special needs. And that's a business by itself. And there are very few people in our industry that know anything about that or have any credibility.
Mm-hmm.
So for somebody to take the time to be the 70 world-class specialists in that is a big effort. But it's very difficult for them to make a big living doing that. But if everybody knew they were the world-class expert in that, they would help themselves and they'd help that person by referring business internally. And that's where you can help. Because, you know, in this situation, he asked me, you know, what he should do, and I told him how he could do it, knowing full well that, you know, his management would not take the effort to help him. So is that ring a bell with your thinking at all?
Yeah, I get the question. Sorry, give me 1 second.
Yep.
I tried to move to a more comfortable phone, but it's really in echo. I guess the question is, how do you get that? I mean, if you have someone that is naturally focused on a segment or a specific product or specialty, I think it's kind of easy to leverage. If you want to create a specialist, someone that is not really, how can you incentivize that person or have them become expert?
Yeah, I think what you have to do is you have to sell the concept of, quote, Fort Fargo, that we as a group would be so much better off if we had experts in this office in every area. We wouldn't have to go and fight the maze of specialists or the maze of you know, of our the puzzle palace, as we used to call it at Merrill, you know, to get answers. We could have them right next door. And if I help you, then you help me.
Yeah.
Which allows everybody then to be much more efficient in the office. And you can bring the local guy with you, and you trust him, and he trusts you. So it becomes that, you know, and you can create this. In general, it's a trusting environment versus a competitive environment. Everybody, competitive has gotten a bad rap. I love competitive, but I also love trusting. You know, I can be competing with the guy next door to me in a blood race for the end, you know, to see who can win. But at the same time, I trust him and will give him access to anything, you know. He will not screw me because he's just a good person and a good buddy, and we don't do that in this environment. So that you can do. You've got to so it becomes almost an obligation of each person to be a specialist in something. So it ends up helping them. People aren't specialists because they don't see the benefit in it. In the medical field, you see the benefit. But if you look at your biggest producers, generally they are a specialist in something, or they specialize in a lot of things. But when I talk to people that are really successful in our business, they're really good at something. Really good. It isn't just they're good at being a financial advisor. They're really good in a niche, in a specialty. So encouraging the specialization, just like in the medical field, a neurosurgeon, a pediatric neurosurgeon, you know, he can write his ticket. He's making millions because people need him. He's incredibly valuable. But, you know, he's excluding a lot of different other things to be that pediatric neurosurgeon. He can't be a gynecologist. He can't be he can't be something else. He's got to be that. And so that's what people have to do. They have to become good at that. Because it takes a lot to be good at that and to stay up on what it is that they're good at. But you then, you have the perfect world because you have got world-class experts in each thing, each part of the business. So you, as the manager, have got an incredibly valuable office.
I see where you're going. And I've used it to certain extent, but without that focus of creating specialists in any niche. And I guess a little bit of that comes on the international side. Typically, you don't have much of, let's say, 401k things or corporate executive plans or things like that. It's more of
Well, the international is a specialization unto itself.
Yeah, it's in itself, and I guess the specialization there comes with either you are a very active trader or you specialize on fixed income or you specialize by market, right? That's where the specialization comes. If you cover Brazil or you cover Mexico, and obviously each market has its nuances.
Well, that's why the firm doesn't let you do international work unless you're trained in international work, because you can violate all kinds of laws by doing something wrong. So there's your specialization. It's really your knowledge of the country and their local laws and what you can and can't do. So it becomes a compliance specialization as well as a target specialization. Then within that market, then it becomes Brazil, and that's a specialization. And within Brazil, it becomes industrial Brazil. And inside industrial Brazil, it becomes, you know, working with a, you know, particular niche in what industry, and then so forth. So you keep going down deeper and deeper.
Yes, but the power comes when you have, if you have someone that, let's say I had someone that was really good at insurance here, right, which I don't, then you can have that person helping other FAs generate new business on insurance, because there are probably things that they are not seeing or looking for or asking. So you can leverage that expertise to generate more business for the entire office.
Right. But here's a couple things that I saw. One of them was a person that really understands estate planning and has gone so far as to write a book on estate planning, okay, and knows it backwards and forwards and understands that it's not just the economics of $10 million and, you know, above that you need estate planning, below that you don't. All kinds of things about wealth preservation and wealth preservation within your bloodline rather than just wealth preservation from the government. It's wealth preservation within your family. You know, you want your daughter to be protected in case of divorce, you know, even though, you know, you hope for happiness forever and ever, the probabilities of families getting divorced is big. And when you have, you know, you can do a prenuptial, but, you know, what if they didn't do a prenuptial? And now you've got all kinds of money, your money, that's going to go to her. How do you prevent him from stealing it once you're not around, you know? So there's a lot of estate planning that can go on that has nothing to do with taxes, but somebody needs to be a specialist. And inside that specialist is the sale of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So insurance becomes a tool that you use to accomplish something rather than the specialty. Sure, you need to know, but that becomes, I mean, you don't have a specialist in, you know, how to buy municipal bonds. Maybe you do. But the idea is that everybody can do that. Everybody should, that's within, you know, doing estate planning, should understand fundamentals of sale of insurance and know which ones to buy. It's like long-term care. You're doing the long-term care planning becomes the specialization rather than the product. Long-term care, you know, can be sold by different companies and there's different nuances within them, but it's basically the concept of taking care of the elderly. So you have a specialist in handling the elderly. I just got off the phone with a guy that specializes in in people that are disabled or have got you know, childhood diseases that are pretty bad, that incurable basically. And how do you deal with those things? People with disabilities. And there's a lot of laws that are, it's just like the laws on international doing business in Brazil. I mean, there are laws that you can't just do things for, you know, you need to know the laws that protect the disabled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a specialty. And inside that, he sells life insurance. But that's a product that, that the specialty is working with disabled. So you've got to have somebody that's interested in that. It's like 401k. Some people just don't want to do any 401k. And here's what I found. That I got out of the business of having everybody in the office do 401ks because it's so time consuming and you need a team. So I built, I think, three teams that did 401ks, and everybody else referred the business to them and split the business because they had people that went out and did the quarterly reviews and did all this stuff and complied with the rules and didn't lose accounts, and won accounts versus the other guys would go in and have all these fabulous opportunities and never win because they're up against teams that's what they did.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you can be such a big help to the office in so many ways, like coordinating the charitable giving, right? And using that marketing strategy to coordinate, you know, who is on what boards, et cetera. That's the kind of, that's a wonderful role for you. We talked about taking all the companies in Miami area and seeing who is working with whom. And then matching up qualified teams to work with different companies. That almost takes a market because you're not the only office in Miami. But it takes a market effort to do that, but you can still do it. And so forth. But the specialization is something you can be completely in control of. But you just have to figure out what are the specializations you want to have in your office that are relevant to your market, and then who's a good fit for each one of them. And so this is a long-term strategy to use to bring real value to your office.
Agree. Yeah.
Okay, so this becomes part of your kind of your five-year plan. You know, we talk about a vision for 5 years or 3 years. You said, well, I don't want, you know, I want it, the whole world can be different in 2 years, so I want to have a two-year plan. Well, yeah, some of these jobs, though, these efforts, you know, it's just isn't going to be your first priority. So it's going to be something you work on, but you can't work on it like you work on something that's urgent and important. This is important, but not, you know, this is important, but not urgent.
So something to keep in mind and keep trying to develop that.
You write out the plan. You develop, you know, kind of a strategy. These are all the different specializations I want. These are the people that immediately pop up. So I'm going to create a vision for them when I meet with them. Okay. The others, I don't have the right guy for. So maybe I try and recruit that guy, or maybe I try and develop that guy. But until then, I don't have that guy. That's an opening, right? So you do the same thing with your market, you know, other marketing efforts. You've got a marketing effort that's going on with corporations and private corporations. You've got nonprofits. That's a marketing effort. So you've got these multiple marketing efforts that you've got going on that you're working on, which fit into your overall business plan.
Okay.
So then when you meet with somebody individually, you ask them, what are the niches that you're working on? And they say, well, I don't have a niche. And you go, well, let's brainstorm. Let's talk about where you came from, your natural niche, and then your target niche. What are target niches that you're comfortable with? Let's look at the top, 50 clients that you have. Tell me where they came from. So you go through, boom, 50 clients. Tell me, top 50, that's where all your revenues come from anyway. Where did they come from? Do they have something in common? Yeah, there's 5 people from Carnival Cruise. Okay. Then you're one of your natural niches is Carnival Cruise, and you didn't even know it. Okay. So now what if we had 30 people from Carnival Cruise? Would that be good for you? Yeah, it'd be great. Triple my business. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's go get them, right? So we create a center of influence within Carnival Cruise. We ask his advice. Do you think this is a good idea? I'm thinking about building my practice around other executives at Carnival Cruise. Do you think it's a good idea? Yes, everybody's making a lot of money now. It's a good business. All right, if you were me, how would you suggest I do it? So those are the words you use. Whenever you're trying to get into a niche, you go into the niche and you ask the question, is it a good idea? And then if you were me, how would you do it? And then shut up and listen and let them build your business plan for how do you get inside Carnival Cruise.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, maybe you have to go with that FA the first time and meet the guys from Carnival Cruise. They'd love to meet you. You'd like to meet them. You're supporting him. Ask them if you think it's a good idea, and they say, yes, we'd love to do that. Okay, let's do it. And then your FA is going, my God, my guy actually went with me and met with him, and now I'm in charge. I'm doing it now. And then every month he meets with that center of influence. And that center of influence introduces him every month to a new guy at Carnival Cruise, and they do some business together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It sounds easy. It isn't, but you just keep pushing and you just keep doing this over and over. And then you have little breakthroughs.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's,
okay. Well, so you have one guy working on hospitals. And you two hospitals, one hospital really is all an FA needs. And he's got his business.
I don't have anybody that I can say has a clear niche. Now, I was having a conversation with Abraham Horowitz, the guy that did the Supernova already, and we were talking about that, and we were trying to come up with a niche. And we had a good conversation, but, it's probably an interesting conversation. To try to have the guys identify where they have an opportunity and try to focus on that niche, right?
Sure. And you don't have to do all this homework yourself. Your staff can do this. Everybody can sit down with an FA and go through their top 50 clients and find out where they came from. Okay? That's the most fundamental thing you need to do. And it gives very good disclosure. And all of a sudden they realize that, well, I got them all from cold calling. Well, we can't do that anymore, so we don't have a niche, okay? But where did you cold call? Well, I cold called this company. Oh, so you have 7 people from the same company. Okay, now we have a niche. See? Oh, I've got doctors. Where?
Well,
they're all from the same hospital, Wonderful. We have
a niche. The idea is once you have a conversation with those guys about having more clients from the same niche and asking them how to do it, they will start to introduce you to people. I mean, because it's not that they have a special expertise in doctors, right?
Well, yes. Well, not yet, but that's what you do, okay? So once you realize that you have you're good at something, see, it's called unconsciously competent. you're either consciously competent or you're unconsciously competent. At this point, most of the guys are unconsciously competent at something. They don't know what they're good at, but they seem to be successful. So what you do is raise their awareness of what they're doing. So you seem to do well with doctors. Gee, isn't that interesting? You do well with doctors from this hospital. Oh, that is interesting. I guess I do. No, I just got referred in to the practice, you know. So I've got a bunch of cardiologists. Okay, so do you know much about their practice? Yeah, I know all about it. Really? Okay. So you're kind of a specialist in cardiologists at that hospital. Well, you never thought about it, but you're right, I am. All right, what would it take for you to be world class at that? How much more would you have to know? I mean, do you really understand their benefits? Do you understand their agreement in their practice? Do you understand the struggles that they're having? Do you understand how they get paid? And he goes, no, I don't really know all that stuff. Okay, so your job, okay, is to know that stuff. So you meet with your center of influence and you get the information and you become the expert. You get his benefits book and you study it and you learn it. And you're actually, you know more about it than anybody in their practice. So it's, so the head guy of the practice calls you when he's got a question about benefits. And that's literally what we did. We knew more about the benefits at Eli Lilly than the HR director because they change them periodically. They go to another company. And a new guy would come in and he'd have to learn it all. He'd call our guy to find out something. What's the history on this benefit? How did this come about? The guy would know. Because he didn't move. The HR directors moved.
That's powerful.
Think about that, right? Think about it. And then the HR director goes from Eli Lilly to Pfizer, right?
Yeah.
Now you've got Pfizer. Okay. So you're an expert not on the on the benefits package for pharmaceutical companies, not just Eli Lilly. Now you have a team. Now, you know, you have enough business, you form a team of specialists in this stuff. That's how you create multi-million dollar producers. It isn't by just challenging them, like we talked about last time. It's helping.
Yeah.
You got to create the vision for them. You got to show them how to do it, and they're not going to do. They're not going to read the HR book unless somebody paints a picture of the value. You just the light went on for you. Then you got to turn that light on for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
When they say, "Wow, that's powerful," then you know the light went on. Okay. Then they're willing to do the work. Nobody's willing to do the work to be a specialist unless the light goes on. Wow, that's powerful. That's what you want them to say. You're smart enough to do the homework, okay? You're smart enough to do the work that it takes to really run an office well. But it's not easy, okay? None of this is easy. Supernova's not easy. This stuff isn't easy. There's no shortcuts. It's just plain work. You earn it when you make it. And that's the truth. The people that are really big producers have earned it. They work. And they're good. And they know their stuff. And that's the good part because you're creating real value.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not easy. It requires a lot of work. Agreed.
But you've got some natural niches there, and in terms of the international. And frankly, I don't know exactly how you can do that, but I guarantee you, you can do it better than anybody. You just have to be an expert inside that niche, knowing you've got a franchise, because nobody else can call on that company. Country, you know?
There are some niches within the country, but the first level is the country and the market, and then from there you have some specializations in
within the market. Right. So why not be, specialist inside different? Look at where the money is, and then pick out your specialist inside that country where the money is. Okay. So for the guys from Puerto Rico, don't waste your time just being generalist in Puerto Rico. Find out where the money is and then be a specialist in that area. And that's true of everything. I mean, none of these niches I'm talking about are people that can't afford us, okay? All the niches that you pick have got to be qualified to meet your minimum. So when I say Carnival Cruise, I'm not talking about, cabin boys. I'm talking about the CEOs and the executive officers and the top people, maybe the captains. I don't know. I don't know that industry well enough. I do know Lily. I know that business. I know how much the scientists make, and I know who makes the money and how they make it. But I don't know Carnival Cruise, but you've got teams that do know that, actually, So that's a perfect example.
Yeah, I've never heard about niches, but I never really put a lot of thought into that. Mainly, maybe because, again, on the international front, the specialization is on the market, I think you can do a lot of progress if you start getting to really know a company and some people within a company.
It's fabulous. You'll enjoy yourself so much more when you get your guys to be really specializing. It becomes so much more fun. You're so much more proud of the work they're doing. Mm-hmm. And you then, just think about you, have the ability to refer them accurately and effectively. So you meet somebody socially and they need something, you know who to refer them to. Not just because they're a good guy and they're doing Supernova, but because they're a perfect match for that guy and his need. He's got a special needs child and you hear about it. Boom. You refer him to just the right person.
Yeah. So you have two axes of specialization by product or by, you can call it by product or by maybe it's not product, the right word.
It's client need. It's by client need.
By client needs, yeah. And the other could be by company or by profession or.
Yep. Yeah, those are the external. So you have your internal, which is where you develop your specialty on client needs. So just think about a doctor, just think about a hospital and how they're divided. That's by client need. Oncologists, cardiologists, specialists, orthopedic surgeons. So that's what you do internally, divide it by client need, and just think about clients in terms of their continuum. You have a specialist in elderly care. You have a specialist in helping clients that have a disabled child, okay? Then you have, and that's a huge business to develop with lawyers. And then you have, specialists in helping executives with their, dealing with their complications of stock purchase plans or stock options, et cetera. Then think about specializing in, private business owners selling their practice, creating liquidity events. So they either sell it to their employees or they sell it in an auction or they sell it, they go public or they do something else, sell it to a private equity company. So those are all, so you have teams that specialize in these different client challenges, client opportunities, client needs. And then, of course, you have, you know, product specialists. But product specialists are sort of almost passe, right? Everybody has to be an expert in the products. Because a person that is working in special needs is going to be a specialist in life insurance. They're going to know life insurance because they sell it so often, because it's such a big part of the financial planning. So you have financial, everybody's a financial planner, but you have particular specialties within the financial planning process.
Okay, I need to put a little bit of thought and work into this, but it's a good concept, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's, you're going to create real value for your FAs when you're sitting down and doing your 1242s with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you got to know what the vision is. You got to see what the picture is. Okay. So when we go through our, you know, we have 7 strategies for acquiring new business plus the internal specialization. So you need to become you need to become comfortable with all 7 acquisition strategies that we use, plus the internal specialization. And you know, that we got time. That's what we're doing this for. But that's kind of the vision of what we're going to be doing. And then you can create enormous value with these coaching sessions that you're having with your FAs. Just like I try to do every day.
Yeah.
So we're gonna put my 40 years of experience into your head. That's what we gotta do. And don't worry that it can't all happen at once. Yeah. So you need to get engaged with these teams and then come back to me and say, okay, Rob, I did this. You know, it's like I try and get the teams to go out and meet with a center of influence. Try and establish a niche, and then come back to me. And what happens then, if they'll actually engage in it, then they come back and they say, okay, this is what happened. I say, well, this is what you can do to offset or help that. Or, you know, a lot of times they'll just come back and say, I've got this situation. What do you think? What can I do? Then I can be a real help to them. But until they engage in the process, I can't be much help, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all theoretical. So we got to get players on the field playing the game, and
yeah,
then we can be of real help to them. So you need to help me get our teams that we're engaged with on the field and in the game.
Yes.
Okay. So
the problem is everyone is overwhelmed, including me.
Yeah, I know, but look. You're getting
with the coaching, I mean, with the whole process, right? Is really,
Yeah, it's always going to be overwhelming when we learn new things. Okay, we disturb our thinking, and it becomes we got very uncomfortable because now we're, oh crap, it's too much, you know. But you know, we just keep saying it over and over, and repeating, and trying, and then we have little breakthroughs. And then when you get to my stage, a tiny breakthrough is like a miracle. But, you know, so the fun thing for me is I've got so much to give. And if I don't have somebody to give it to, it's so frustrating.
Right.
Right? For you, you've got so much that people want of your time. You know, you don't have that sense of frustration that I do. Yours is different. Yours is like, I got so much knowledge, and I can't get it all out there, you know. I guess it's the same in that way.
You know what my frustration is, and I think my frustration is being organized and consistent in what I'm providing. So it's the consistency thing, like having a structure on what we want to achieve or how I want to help every one of them, because I know what I want to help them to is grow their business, bring more clients and more assets. But the how and the process to it is what I need to put together.
Have you built your folders and doing your 1242s with the clients you want to, and your FAs that you want to? Have you
FAs? Yes. I'm in the process. I have several already.
Okay, so just start building that out. Don't overwhelm yourself. You can't do it with everybody, but you can organize your team to start doing it with them, you know, so you can leverage your team so that they're doing 1242s with people that you don't have time for.
Mm-hmm.
You don't love them less. You just don't have time. So they're learning how to do this coaching process by doing it. And you get together with your team then and discuss, okay, this week we're working on this, or in week one you're working on this, and you're on week four, so you're working on this. So you literally are coaching, you know, you're teaching your coaches to coach while they're coaching their teams.
Well, Rob, I don't have much of a team.
Yeah, I know, but you have some, you know. So you just do the best you can.
Yeah. Yes. But no, I started the process. I have had some really good conversations with some people. This conversation about niche, as I was telling you, something that came up with one of the guys. So I'm actually looking forward to go back to him with this idea and try to focus a little more on that. So that's exciting.
Yeah, it's just like getting the guys to do the mission statement and all, make it theirs. You want this niche thing to be theirs. So you go through and look at the top 50 clients or the top 20 clients or whatever you think is a fair sample. And get them to come up with their ideas on what they would like to do in terms of niches, okay? And if they're stuck, then you start making suggestions. But you'll see a correlation between their activities that they've been successful with and some niches. If you can't, show it to me, and I'll help.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
I'm happy to
do that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Just send that to me and say, okay, these were the five main, seem to be the highest, you know, you had four clients in this and four clients in this and four clients in this. Do you see any niches here? I'd be happy to do that.
Okay.
Anything I can do during the week that you have questions on, just email them to me or text me. I'm happy to do that. I have a guy that does that all the time. And we have a regular chatter going on, you know, between us.
Okay.
So I don't mind. Thanks. I don't mind that at all. It takes 2 minutes for me to answer.
Okay, good.
Okay. All right, my friend, I will let you go.
So I have a challenge, which is I would love for my bigger producer, who has a huge ego, to get engaged with you.
Yeah.
How?
How?
He has a huge ego. He's one of those that I think he thinks that he doesn't need all this BS. That's how he will probably think about it. But
he doesn't need Supernova?
Well, I don't know Supernova. I think he doesn't feel he needs a coach.
Has he ever had a coach?
I don't know. I need to ask.
Okay, good question. Remember, we talked about that last week, right?
Yeah, yes.
Connecting the dots, go back and ask him when he had a great coach. Who was his great coach? Did he leave him alone, or did he push him? Did he see more in him than he saw in himself? How would you like to have a coach like that, a real coach, not some bullshit, frankly? Everybody would love to have a good coach. Everybody. Who wouldn't want a good coach if they were once an athlete or were successful? Especially if they have a big ego. You know, why are all these other guys getting attention and I'm getting nothing?
I need to take him out to lunch and try to get him to bite.
Well, you ask him about his life. you know, you're amazingly successful. Tell me about your life. Who doesn't want to tell about that, right? Feed his ego. Ask him. Yeah, just feed him. Just say, you're wonderful. God, amazing. Fabulous business. How did you do it? Did you do it all by yourself? How did you ever get started on this? You know, tell me about what was life like for you when you were a kid, tell me about your parents. Tell me about your life growing up. Were you an athlete in college or in high school? Yeah. What'd you do? How good were you?
So okay.
The dot between his successes and his successes today, and he'll tell you exactly why he's successful today. It's because of his parents or because of his high school coach or athletics or something. And then you just say to him, you know, so how would you like to have a world-class coach that can be your coach like you did in high school and college? You got something out of that, right? Yep. And then have him meet me. Hand him the book. And then have him meet me, you know. In terms of just get on the phone and do a conference call with us. Let me talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, you get on, introduce us, and then I'll talk to him.
Yeah, that's my goal. Well, that's my goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody.
To be honest, I have been somehow afraid. I've been somehow afraid to even suggest it. I gave him the book. I spoke about Supernova, but indirectly.
I don't
want to
make
it. About it.
See, he's gonna. You're afraid he's gonna think that you think there's something wrong with him.
Yes.
See, and that's what you gotta. You gotta get that right out on the table and say, "Look, I'm not doing this because I think there's something wrong with you. I'm doing this because I think there's something right with you." You know, I'm wasting my time and money on a lot of these guys. With you, I'm not wasting 1 minute. My biggest producer used to say, Rob, you invest an hour with me, it's like investing 3 hours with the other guys. Okay? I'm worth three times as much.
No, and this guy is the type of guy that I think he gets focused. I mean, he's amazing already. He has a huge business. And he's eager to grow it further, so. And he puts the hours, he works hard.
Yeah, how big is he now?
He's 1.5 billion and doing 8 million this year.
Wow, that is good.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to him about doing 20.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he is motivated. I mean, he's hungry. He's ambitious. Okay, that's my task for the week. I hope I can get him out to lunch this week. Let's see. If not next week.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Not beyond next week I'm having a conversation with him. That's a goal.
Good.
Okay, my friend.
We're all kids at heart, you know that. You know, we're all kids at heart. We want attention. We want approval. And no matter what you think, he wants it, okay? And he'll think less of you if you don't give it to him.
Yeah. No, he wants it. He wants it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Okay.
Okay?
Excellent, Rob. I'll have some time this week to do a little bit of work, so next week.
Excellent.
We'll get some progress.
Good. Look
Thank you.
To it.
Okay.
Tell me the challenge.
Yes.
It's good for us.
Okay.
It's great.
Keeps you focused, motivated.
Right. Exactly. All right.
Okay, my friend. Talk to you Monday.
See you next week.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.